Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Inductive Bible Study today. And I know my voice sounds a little bit different because I'm not Carrie, and I don't aspire to be Carrie. I'm Sonia, and I am one of the members of the Inductive Bible Study class here. And Carrie has asked me to lead the class today. I am approved as an instructor in Precept Upon Precept, and she so graciously said, okay, it's your turn. So here I am, and I do hope that we all have a grand time together studying God's Word. We have had a lot of great things to look at this week in the Word, and let's get started with some prayer. Holy Father, we just love you so much. Lord, we love you for who you are, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we love you for your Son. Lord, I just always get choked up when I talk to you, but God, I just praise you. Praise you in spirit and truth. Lord, I thank you for being able to look at the scripture that we looked at this week about baptism and circumcision and what it means to be in the Lord. Lord, there was so much to learn and to think about and to decide. What is it you need to tell me? What are you telling all people for all time, Lord, because your word never changes. We thank you for that. We thank you for the salvation that you so freely gave. We thank you for Resurrection Week. Lord, we thank you that we were able to celebrate Easter this week. And it was so wonderful to look at Easter and then study the resurrection and what it means in Lesson 8. Lord, we want to cover all of those around the world who are studying your word, who are persevering in you. I know especially this week we pray for Laos. We ask for their government to just be pierced in their hearts to their core, with the understanding that they need Jesus Christ. We ask for strength for those people who are there, who are under so much persecution. Lord, we cannot even begin to understand what they are under. Lord, strengthen them, comfort them. May they move on in your holy name, glorifying the eternal kingdom, looking forward to that prize. Lord, we all look forward to that prize, and we thank you so much. Right now, as we go through this lesson, Lord, just be glorified. May your words come out, and only your words, and your message. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, let's review just a little bit. Who wrote Colossians?
Paul.
Yes. To whom is it written?
The believers at Colossae.
It is the believers at Colossae, and even more specifically, it's the Gentile believers at Colossae. And why was it written?
It was a letter of instruction and warnings and encouragement.
Okay, it sure was. Paul had never seen the Colossians. He stated that very plainly. But he had heard about them, and who had he heard from?
Epaphras.
He had heard also, though, that there were some false teachings creeping in. So he was writing, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to encourage the Colossians and also to warn them. Now, exactly how did he warn them? Okay. What's the first thing he did in this letter?
He prayed, but he gave thanksgiving for them.
Mm-hmm. He did. He encouraged them by thanking the Lord for what they were doing in their faith. Also, he proclaimed the gospel. Right away, he gave us a beautiful treatise about the nature and the work of Jesus Christ. That was in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, which is what we were still going over this last week, he showed them their completeness in Christ. And he helped them see that they did not need any popular philosophy or tradition of man. Right? So this week you were asked to look at some things that we have in him and with him. What did y'all find?
Well, we have faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
Redemption.
Okay, tell me where you found it also, if you would. You said faith? I'm sorry if I'm snorting. Had a little bit of a...
We've all got that allergy.
An allergy thing going on.
It's bad here. Oh, faith was in verse 4. We heard your faith in Christ Jesus.
Now, looking in chapter 2, let's look for the things that we have in him and with him in chapter 2.
I put, according to verse 6, that we have the ability to walk.
Mm-hmm. Because if the Colossians could walk in him, so can we. Whoops. You said verse 6? I started out with verse 3. In him we have all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This pen is just dying. Moving right down the chapter, what else do you see?
In verse 9, it says, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
Now, all deity and fullness of God is in him. Do we have that?
No. But we have been made complete.
Okay. We are complete.
In verse 10.
Look at verse 5. Paul says, for even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Now, we know specifically he's talking to the Colossians, and they had good discipline and they had stability of faith. Does that mean only the Colossians can have that?
No.
So I took it to mean that we can have good discipline and stability of faith in him. You agree? Mm-hmm. And we already put faith up here, so it's also in verse 3. How about verse 11? What do you see that we have in him there?
A circumcision made without hands.
Mm-hmm. And we did a really good study on that one. What about verse 12?
Buried with him in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because we're buried with him, but we don't stay dead.
That's right, and that's what I was going to say. But
we're
raised up with him. It says we're raised within him. Praise the Lord, we don't stay dead. Okay, what else do you see that we have in him?
We are made alive together with him.
That's 13.
So we are alive. We have life because of him. That ranks right up there with that raised up. It finishes that statement. Well, there's another thing in verse 13.
Dead in our transgressions.
Well, we were, but in him we are
forgiven. forgiven.
Verse 14.
It's
an interesting verse.
Yeah, it doesn't specifically talk about being in him, but it's talking about how that certificate of death
mm-hmm.
that he canceled out, he's taken it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess because they paid our debt.
Mm-hmm.
We
have a debt that's been paid. He paid a debt. He did not owe.
Sing it for
us. Yeah, I put that we have a canceled debt. Now, I like those. You know, at this time of year when so many people are getting some income tax returns, a lot of people do a lot of stuff with them. I like to pay off some of my debt with mine. You know, and I was so happy last week to be able to do that, but it does not compare to the debt that he canceled for me. Okay, you see anything else in the rest of that chapter that we have in him or with him?
I put verse 20 that we died with him to the elementary principles of this world.
So we can say death to the world, worldly principles. You said that was 20?
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty exhaustive list. We have quite a few things in him and with him. But I love making a list like this because it's so important to go back and review these things. I know it is for me. Because I can go back and look at it and say, Lord, I need some wisdom right now. I need it in this situation, and I know you have it and I have it because of you. It's all in him. You know, if I want to have good discipline, if I want to make the right decisions and do the right thing, I can say, Lord, I can have all good discipline and stable faith in you. Right? If I want to be rooted and built up. That was one I don't think we wrote down. That was verse 7. We are rooted, we are built up, and we are established in him. I can do that through him because I am in him. And he has assured us in his word that we have that. We can be rooted. We can be built up. We can be established, and it's in faith in him. How about this one? Circumcision. You ever thought about wanting to be circumcised? Most of us ladies have not. Yet, that's something that is greatly discussed in the scriptures. And we did a little bit of study on that one this week. What did you learn about circumcision?
It's of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it is. But the first circumcision was physical circumcision of the male, and that was a sign of the old covenant
mm-hmm.
with Abraham.
Right. We started by looking at, is it Genesis 17?
Mm-hmm.
I know I have that scripture sheet here.
Yep, Genesis 17.
Look at what we learned about circumcision. Always get the S and the C mixed up in circumcision. And from Genesis 17, we learned several things. And you just mentioned it. The very first thing was it is a sign of the covenant.
The old covenant.
Mm-hmm. When, another thing that I took out of that was it is not the covenant itself.
It's just like us, though, to take the sign of something and make it the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see the Starbucks sign all day long, but that's not the Starbucks store.
Right.
I can't go to the sign and get my coffee.
Right.
Having the circumcision, what does it do for the person who has it?
Reminds them of the covenant.
Okay, it reminds them.
Well, it allows them to be a part of.
Set apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's an identity. It shows identity. I'm just going to put ID. It shows identity and belief in the covenant. Caught out of that passage in Genesis 17, God plainly said that there would be some who would not do it, who would not believe it.
I don't know if you were going to talk about this or not, but something that really struck me was that passage in Genesis 17 is where he's promised the seed. He mm-hmm. promises the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the circumcision is very meaningful because it is a sign at the place of procreation where the seed comes from. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's such a remembrance mm-hmm. of the covenant, because of where it is. You know, and I don't think that we often think about that, because
mm-hmm.
we're just used to saying circumcision, accepting what it is, and not really thinking about, well, why? Why?
Mm-hmm. Why is it
like
there?
Why
is it that piece of skin that has to be cut?
Because that is, because the Genesis 17 is all about that seed, and then, what's it, Philippians? Or Galatians. I can't remember where it explains that passage, where it tells us, Paul explains, I can't remember, it's in either Galatians, Ephesians, or Philippians.
It's the New Testament.
It's one of those short epistles. He explains that passage mm-hmm. in Genesis where it says a seed. He says a seed is not referring to many, but there he says specifically that's mm-hmm. Christ, and how that was a remembrance of the Messiah that God promised, and that it was coming through the seed of Abraham.
How could they forget?
Right.
I mean,
Right. Mm-hmm. They had to be reminded
all the time.
And I see what you're saying is cutting that piece of skin. Well, we could have just cut our earlobes off or something.
Right.
Then everybody would see, oh, you're one of those believers in that covenant.
Right.
You know, but where it's at, it's very private. You know, it's not something you just go, woohoo, look at I believe in the covenant. But it also, it's so closely related to, like you said, procreation, that it came through. And in that same passage in Genesis, it says, this covenant I make with you and your descendant, and he names him Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham says, well, but look at Ishmael. Mm-hmm. You know, I have Ishmael, because Isaac wasn't even yet. And God said, no, I hear you. I will bless Ishmael. I will make him a nation, but he does not have this covenant.
When we were in Israel last year, and our Jewish guide was talking about the covenant, and he said, you know, that it's kind of like not a legend, but they kind of tell the story in Hebrew terms of saying God came to Abraham and said that I'm going to bless your seed, and he says, you know, my sons, and he says, I have two sons, and he says, no, not that son, but Isaac. And how God, you know, Abraham presents, it's like showing a picture of Abraham presenting to God his case, mm-hmm. and then how God gets brings it down more specific, mm-hmm. not just through you, and not just through you and Sarah, mm-hmm. you know, but through Isaac, and mm-hmm. how he just narrows it down. He's so specific.
And he does. By this point in Genesis, he is extremely specific, and it is to the point.
Yeah, I also think about, it's a personal, like, you know, you were talking about how it's, you know, it's in our private place. It was a personal thing for them. You know, I kept, when we started talking about that, and it just, you know, that's a personal area. This covenant was personal, and they were to, that should have been something that would just constantly be reminded of.
Mm-hmm. You know, something else that I noticed in Genesis 17 was God did not say, this is our covenant that we have made together. Mm-hmm. He specifically said, this is my covenant that I make. Right. And as we know, you've probably studied covenant before and precept upon precept. What a covenant really means is passing between the flesh. And who passed between that flesh when Abraham put out the pieces of dead animal that he had cut in half? He didn't go through it. Mm-hmm. Only God did. Only God ratified that covenant. Abraham did not.
Right. God's the initiator of the covenant for mm-hmm. sure.
That so is right.
It can never be broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we looked at the next scripture on circumcision, and it was in Exodus. And I'm not sure if anybody mentioned it, that only those who had been circumcised could partake of the Passover. So circumcision also allowed Passover participation. And it's always so interesting to me. I remember I was an adult when it dawned on me, and I don't know how I got through my whole life without this, y'all. It dawned on me what Jesus was doing at the Last Supper. And then I felt so dumb. I've known that all my life. And it just had never meshed together. He was a Jew. He was having Passover dinner when he did that. And then he instituted the communion at the same time. That's just a beautiful thing. It's one of those aha moments for me. Okay, we also read further in some other scriptures. What else did you find about circumcision?
The male children on the eighth day.
Okay, it's only for males. And they had to be 8 days old. You ever think about that one?
I've always heard it's when the blood clots. It's at its highest peak for clotting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I've always heard.
That's one of the things I've heard, too, and it had something to do with when the pain receptors in the body become mature is after the eighth day. I don't know, but we see that it's only for males. And what do you reckon is the reason why it's only for males?
Well, they're the only ones that have something that needs to be circumcised.
Well,
and that's where the seed comes from.
Right. Because it's through Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is through Isaac.
I mean, it's through the male.
And we also know that the fleshly body, the body of sin, came through one man, not through one woman. So we can correlate that. It had to be a male.
No matter how much they like to blame it on us.
That's the truth. We're just not worthy
it's
of that.
It's in the Bible.
Way. It's in the Word. It sure is.
But, you know, I love Deuteronomy
mm-hmm.
because even then, in the midst mm-hmm. of the law, because Deuteronomy is the re-giving of the law,
mm-hmm.
and even in that, God tells them that there's going to come a time when I'm going to circumcise your heart
mm-hmm.
and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And so even in the midst of this sign of the covenant,
mm-hmm.
he's already telling them that it's just a sign, and there's another circumcision coming.
Mm-hmm. And it will be the sign of circumcision on the heart. And in that same passage, we see that a penitent and obedient person is reconciled to God through this. then some of the further scriptures that we read related to this one. And who did we find does the circumcision of the heart?
God does.
In Romans 2, 28 and 29.
Yes, by the Spirit.
It is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. And in Galatians, we saw that it is worthless without one thing.
Without faith working
mm-hmm.
through love.
Did you know that the Word had this much to say about circumcision?
If you study Romans, you do.
That's true.
Which most of them have.
And one of the last ones we looked at was in Philippians. And we saw in Philippians that this is a fleshly sign. But trusting in that fleshly sign was called false circumcision. And I think the fleshly sign the fleshly sign closely related to is just a sign of the covenant. It is not the covenant.
I thought it was interesting because it says beware of false circumcision there,
mm-hmm.
and then he says this is what true circumcision is.
Mm-hmm. So there is a false circumcision, and just like I said in Genesis, God plainly said there will be those who will not believe, and that's that false circumcision. There may even be people who are bodily circumcised, but they have not had it done to the heart. So taking all of this that we read throughout the rest of the Word and looking at what we read about this in Colossians, what is Paul's point in Colossians 2? What did he mention this for?
Well, that we are to have a true circumcision of our hearts, and that are we still talking about circumcision?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that whereas that was an outward sign, that we are to have the inward, have it inward.
Mm-hmm. And we see he mentioned this in chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, is where he mentions circumcision. And you know, way back at the beginning when we started working on chapter 2, we did kind of like chapter divisions or segments. And that area is something that we kind of called, don't be taken captive.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had been talking about, don't be deluded because of a couple of things. Philosophy.
Tradition.
What do you reckon this circumcision was to them?
Tradition.
It's a tradition. These were Jewish people. Well, the Colossians were Gentile. Paul was a Jew.
But those poor Gentiles, there was a Jew somewhere always trying to put some law.
There was. And so it seems like Paul's point was, oh, whoa, stop. You're pulling in the tradition of the Jewish people and trying to be saved by it. It's another thing that he was mentioning. You do not need to be caught in this.
Are we going to discuss baptism too? Because I think at this point in our
mm-hmm.
lesson, we've already
mm-hmm.
discussed it, but
mm-hmm.
you haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. I was just wondering because I think there's a connection between why he talks about circumcision and baptism, but I don't want to.
That's exactly right. And I think we were even asked that in our lesson this week. Paul first speaks of circumcision, and then he mentions baptism. And what was he doing? Was he just jumping from word to word to word? No, he had a point. He had a reason. In verse 11, exactly what does Paul say circumcision is?
Removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Mm-hmm. That statement is pivotal. What is circumcision? Mm-hmm. It is the removal of the body of flesh. What's the body of flesh? This thing that we get from these guys, the males, our body of flesh.
Well, it's that thing that some people say is that makes us not be able to help it when we sin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's not so.
Mm-hmm. That sin nature. Who will save me from this body of flesh? Is that what not Paul said in a different passage of the New Testament? Circumcision of the heart will. And as you mentioned, this is where Paul begins to talk about baptism. So, what did you learn about baptism right there? I know I've got so many little lists going. I'm trying to keep them all straight.
Okay, so are we talking about what we learned
in
Colossians? Okay, not...
Yeah, because right after verse 11, where he said circumcision,
mm-hmm.
In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The very next verse he says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Word study. When I looked up the word as found, excuse me, as found right there is baptizo. Mm-hmm. I mean baptisma.
Mm-hmm.
Strong's number 908. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the tool that you looked at said this, but it said that it was very closely related to look up the word, the 907, which mm-hmm. is baptizo. And which seems to be the verb, and the maybe 908 seems to be the noun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, it said when used in the New Testament, this word more often refers to our union and identification with Christ than to our water baptism. And so here, I think in Colossians, it's much more than water baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Although that is part of it, it's much more than that.
I think it's like a symbol of the, I mean, not a symbol, that the baptism is a symbol of this.
Well, I think sometimes when we talk about baptism, and we say about, and we know the word means immersion,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you can try to get around that all you want, but you can't.
Yeah.
That's
right.
And so, because the picture's not there if it's not immersion, so as you go under the water, it's a picture of Christ's death,
yeah.
and you bring him, you come up as a picture of his resurrection.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I think so often we think about baptism as being a picture of what Christ did, but really, it's like what he did on the cross. But what it is a picture of what he did on the cross has now done in us.
That's
yes.
right. It's our identification
yes.
with what he did. It's us
it's
actually
like we
doing it.
Died on that cross
right.
because he did. And we rose from the grave because he did. We're not
mm-hmm.
just picturing, we're not just giving a little illustration for Easter.
Right.
You know, it's really us taking on into our body
mm-hmm.
what he did.
Mm-hmm. Identifying. Exactly right.
When baptisma, one of the things was, and I was trying to fit this definition in, and it sort of fits, but it said, of calamities and afflictions
mm-hmm.
With which one is quite overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just such an interesting tie into the, you know, to the, what Christ did and what, you know, the calamities and afflictions he had on that cross. I'd never thought about that with relation
to the word, you know, or to immersion or to, you know, mm-hmm. submersion. But there was, and that we, that was our calamities and our afflictions.
And we were overwhelmed by it. Yes. Yeah. Have you ever really felt overwhelmed by your own sin?
Yes.
Or life? Yeah. Your own life. I know I am often overwhelmed just with living from day to day.
But, you know, we take on that. We get mm-hmm. overwhelmed. And we take on those afflictions mm-hmm. and identify with those way more than sometimes we think about and take on His and what He did. Which you can't, you know, you can't get overwhelmed if you stay down, submerged, you know, submersed.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you continue to be overwhelmed and you do stay right. submerged, that's not what He wants.
And did anybody see how that word baptizo is used in how a Greek poet and physician, yes. Nicander, mm-hmm. used that word as in making pickles?
Yes.
And how the pickle is baptized? It's not mm-hmm. just dunked into the vinegar, but it takes it on.
Mm-hmm.
And how... it's saying that mere intellectual assent is not enough. There must be a union with Him, a real change, like the vegetable to the pickle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
awesome illustration.
There's a real difference between a cucumber and a pickle.
That's right.
And
it is changed completely.
It is changed.
I am a pickle.
It's still a cucumber, but it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And it was just neat because that is someone that used that word in that way, and that shows us the context
at that time of how
it was used. And I just thought that was really neat.
It is. I did look that one up. I ended up with about four or five words that were used for baptize, baptism, and going over all of them. That was definitely something that stuck out in my mind.
I haven't worked my way all the way through Zodiates. There's like mm-hmm. nine pages mm-hmm. just on word 908.
I got a little overwhelmed when I looked at it, and I was like, I was looking for my reference of Colossians so that yep. I didn't mm-hmm. spend forever
working my
that.
Way through that in the coming yeah. weeks.
Okay, but with what you did read about baptism and baptize, let's relate that to what Paul was saying here in these two verses. On page 73, you were asked the question, why do you think Paul uses the term circumcision here? And then, are there any parallels between circumcision and what you read in Romans? And boy, we did a beautiful mini study on Romans 1 through 11. And the main word used there is baptized. And then Paul did use the word baptized in Colossians 2 in verse 12. Why did he put these two things together?
Well, for the Gentiles, baptism was their outward sign of an inward change or Christ living in them, whereas circumcision for the Jews was their sign.
It's not just though a Jew and Gentile thing.
Yeah,
it's a old covenant, new covenant thing. Where circumcision mm-hmm. is the outward sign that you were in covenant with God mm-hmm. in the old covenant. In the new covenant, baptism is the outward sign mm-hmm. that you are in covenant with God through faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is there's still circumcision, but now you can't see it. Baptism, with the new covenant, baptism is the outward sign. Circumcision of the heart is the mm-hmm. inward sign.
Mm-hmm.
It works its way out, but that circumcision is now inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a neat picture. I mean, when you grow up studying God's Word and no one like brings it together for you,
mm-hmm.
covenant brings it together for you, mm-hmm. you know, and it's mm-hmm. just awesome.
Yeah, that's like I was saying about I was an adult, had been in the Word for 30 years before it dawned on me Jesus was having Passover. Nobody had brought that together for me.
Right.
And it's the same thing that you're saying about what baptism is and what circumcision was, but what it is now. Mm-hmm. Also, he was discussing traditions of men, philosophies, and empty deceptions. There was a group of people called the Judaizers who were going around telling converts of the Gentiles, you have to also be circumcised or you're just not saved. And this was another way that he could combat that empty deception. This is not true. And we do know, I believe it's in Galatians, that Paul confronted Peter about this very thing, and that even Barnabas had been caught up in it.
And isn't it interesting that then they were taking that sign and making it the standard for salvation,
mm-hmm.
and people do the same thing today with the sign of baptism,
mm-hmm.
that is what saves you.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it don't matter what God does, we can mess it up.
We do. We just run toward messing it up. And that's something that I got out of this, is both circumcision and baptism are rituals. They display a personal creed, an identification with this belief. And they can be used improperly, but they are just symbols. They're outward signs. But there must be that inward sign, that inward circumcision of the heart that proves that relationship and that it's based solely and completely on Jesus. Otherwise, as Paul said, that outward sign, it's worthless. Have you ever thought also about how people who say that you have to be baptized, like the Judaized, circumcised, or you're just not saved? That works really great for the males. How did the females get saved? Wow, it would be tough to live in that day and think, oh, wait a minute, I can't get saved. I can't be circumcised. And that was, again, proof of, wait a minute.
Was a sign.
Yeah, you're adding something here that cannot be. That is not to be there. But I do have to tell you, just lightly, there is female circumcision. And it is gross. It is, if you don't have a strong constitution, you don't want to look that up. And it is not to show a belief system and be identified with Jesus at all. It's to subjugate women. Now, we looked into sin. We had a whole bunch of great words. I love listening to that guy on BibleStudyTools.com when he pronounces those words. I just kept listening to him. Paroptima. Or Hamartia. Paramasis. What did you learn about sin? We were asked, after having looked at those verses, are transgressions and trespasses sin? What did you answer for that? That was on page 77, if you want to look at what you wrote down. Number 4, are transgressions and trespasses sin? You might have thought what I thought.
I think it's a trick question.
That's it, right there. When I read that, I was like, what is this? Is that
a trick?
Is that a trick question?
I mean, it's a great question, but it's not a trick question.
What did you decide?
Yes.
Does it seem like, duh?
Yes. You're almost like, okay, I need to look at this again because this is very transparent.
Mm-hmm. But I think in asking this question, what the makers of this study wanted us to do is base our answer in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Why can we say, yes, a transgression is a sin? Yes, a trespass is a sin. We know it is because we went back and we looked at the words Paul used. And we saw that they meant going against the truth, being against righteousness, to err, to violate God's law. This one was good, to habitually be in lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a guitar player, but I have to say I'm just about a terrible guitar player. You know why? Because I don't practice. And Paul said, those who practice lawlessness, what does practicing do for you? Practice makes
perfect.
Hey, so you can perfect lawlessness, right? What he's saying is you've made a habit of it. I have not made a habit of playing my guitar. so I don't habitually do it, so I'm just a terrible guitar player.
Well, I think another thing that might have thrown you off is they gave us a big old space.
Yes.
Really, all you need to do is put
yes. Or duh.
Yes, exclamation point. Anything, and I think that's what the point is, anything apart from God and his mm-hmm. righteousness is mm-hmm. sin. Because why do we need to answer that today?
Well, because now there's no...
People have redefined sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they've redefined sex.
And it's so relative.
Yeah, they've redefined adultery, mm-hmm. you know. And so, we have to ask those basic elementary questions now because it's not duh to everybody
that's
else
right.
and to the world,
that's
you know.
Right.
And we have to remember that, and it's hard to, and that's why we think we're getting tripped up here, but mm-hmm. it's really just very straightforward, because believe it or not, there are people that think, because what did we look at the scripture in Romans? When you know to do right and you don't do it,
that's
sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was one of them.
A lot of times, people wouldn't think that's sin, that you didn't do the right thing.
And that's James 4:17.
Yeah.
Therefore, to one
right.
who knows the right thing to do,
and does not do it,
to him it is sin.
Right. And so, a lot of times, people wouldn't think that's sin. You know, we have to tell people, yeah, you were supposed to do that, and you didn't do it. That was sin.
And you know what caught me on that one was, it says, to him who knows to do the right thing. How do you know what the right thing is?
When you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit within you. Studying God's Word. Praying over that thing. Letting His still, small voice speak to you. Also, we learned in James, for whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. So, one sin equals guilty of all. Stumbling in one point of the law. You have broken the whole law. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether my sin is singular or plural. We looked at this great little phrase that Paul used, and it was the certificate of debt. Let's see what he said that. Verse 14, chapter 2. He said, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So we did some study into what could certificate of debt be. This is what I came up with, and y'all are going to love it because I am such a good artist. You ever see beautiful diplomas? Or certificates of completion? We have a certificate of debt. We read some scripture about that to help us define exactly what that is. What did we find out about the certificate of debt? Well, even right there in the verse, look at verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 14. That certificate of debt, the first thing we learned is...
consists of decrees against us.
It is decrees against us. So my certificate of debt, hereby decrees, against me, it has one more thing, right there in the verse.
It was hostile.
It is hostile toward me. Now, after reading the scripture that we were presented about the certificate of debt, well, even in this very verse, or the next one, what do we know happened to this certificate of debt? And we haven't even defined exactly what it is yet. So we've got this big blank as to exactly what the certificate of debt is. What did Paul tell us happened to that certificate?
It was canceled out.
Mm-hmm. Having been
nailed
to the cross. So we know it had these lovely nails. See how lovely my nails are? There's the left hand, the right hand, and here are the feet.
They look like ice cream cones.
They do look like ice cream cones. Told you I was a good artist. Okay, but then we read some other scriptures, so we could try to fill in this blank of exactly what their certificate of debt is. And we looked up certificate of debt in the commentaries as well.
Breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
Even just one.
Mm. What did anyone else get? Because we were asked in the study. All right, on page 83, answer this question from number 6. What is the certificate of debt? I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. That was when. that was on page 84, at the end of the study.
82 is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
And then we got to look at the commentaries on 84.
Oh, okay. So are you asking us based on the cross references or also the commentary? All of it.
All of it.
Well, I see the word curse a lot in the scriptures that we looked up, and so it's almost like it was a written curse against us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were cursed because. In Galatians is where it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having
mm-hmm.
become a curse for us. And then in Galatians also it said that anyone who doesn't abide by all things of the law is cursed.
Mm.
And so it's like this curse against us. But really, I think the bottom line is it was our death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think about... you know, I know someone that is that committed murder, and they're in life in prison for life, like serving two consecutive life sentences plus more years. And I think surely that's written down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like official documents and paperwork somewhere that says
mm-hmm.
exactly what he did and what his punishment is. And
mm-hmm.
that is his certificate of debt, because we said when people go to prison, they pay their debt to society.
To society, yes.
And
mm-hmm.
he obviously will never finish paying his debt to society, but
mm-hmm.
That is, I think of as his certificate of debt, and that's how I think about ours.
And that's what I came up with as well, is this certificate of debt is because I have not fulfilled the law. And when I have not fulfilled the law, as we read, whether it be in one point or in all points, I am cursed.
Yeah.
And my curse is death. And so what happened, and what he's saying is, that handwriting of my debt has been nailed to the cross. It is done. It is finished. It is over. And how are we? One of the scriptures we read said, we do fulfill the law. And how did we do that? Trying to find which scripture I read that, and I know I read. Oh, it was Romans 8. Let me read that to you. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. I can stand today and say, I have fulfilled the law. What do I base that on? Romans 8, 4, right there. The requirement of law is fulfilled in me because of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just want to worship right there.
Let's do it.
And in closing, let's just think about, as blood-bought believers, having been circumcised in the heart, baptized in the Spirit, and from all the things that we studied and looked at this week, we have some freedoms. What are the things that we are free of or from?
We're free from sin.
There you go. We're free from sin. Hallelujah. What else? We read over several. How about this one? I'm free from the law, praise the Lord, because I sure cannot keep it. What did circumcision really mean? Having the body of flesh removed. Guess what else we're free from? The body of flesh. Right. Praise the Lord. And, there was one really good scripture. Jesus said in John 12, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who's the ruler of this world?
The devil.
The devil. Guess what else I'm free from? The devil. I'm not under his power. I can't say, oh, the devil made me do it. I remember when I was young, my grandmother had one of those little statues. It was orange. It's about this tall, and it had this little demon thing with, what are those things called?
Horns.
Horns. He had his pitchfork and his pointy tail. And it said, the devil made me do it. No, he did not.
If you're lost, he did.
Yeah, if you're lost, that's right. Well, she was supposed to be saved. I am free from his power. Praise the Lord. Free from sin, free from the law, free from flesh, and free from the power of Satan. And I know that I do have all power because Paul told me so in Colossians. I have all power through Jesus Christ. Anything else anybody want to mention today? Something that just touched you, caught your eye, caught your attention in our lesson this week?
Well, I just think it's... And we're going to talk about this in the coming lesson, but talking about where Christ is seated, and we talk about He's seated in the heavenlies, and how he placed all authorities and powers, rulers, dominions, the devil, death, everything were placed in subjection under his feet, and that means ours
I
too.
I am too. That's right. What's under my feet? Every single thing that's under Jesus'
feet. I love that song we used to sing.
It's under my feet.
Yeah.
Satan is under my feet. I went to the enemy's camp.
And
I took back what he stole from me. And I did it through the power of Jesus Christ and his blood. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much once again for what we learned this week. It was just amazing to look at all the things that we are free from, the things we used to be caught in, but we now have freedom in your name, in your blood, and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through the love of God the Father. Nothing can top that, Lord. Nothing. May we do as Paul did and go out and proclaim that gospel so that others can have the freedom that we so enjoy. Well, we thank you for going with us the rest of this week and helping us through the next study and giving us all wisdom. Such a treasure it is. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Test, 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 test.